Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. I'm a writer and a web guy, and while you may not be a writer or a web person, I bet you do some kind of writing from time to time. And I'm talking something beyond email here, too. Maybe you need to write some kind of proposal, or prepare a narrative, or maybe just take some notes in a meeting. God forbid you wind up the secretary or minute taker, because that means you're going to have to pay attention to the entire meeting and take the notes to prove it. While I carry around a pad and paper almost all the time, most of my writing is done in some kind of digital format. I'm a fairly fast typist, and my handwriting, while somewhat legible, isn't always easy to read, and sometimes even harder to understand. So I type, and when I type, I want some of the bells and whistles we've come to expect from digital writing. I want headers, I want bold type, I want italics and web links and lists and separating lines and all of that. But there's a challenge there because I don't want to open up a full-blown word processor just to take some notes. More than that, I want to be able to easily share my writing, perhaps put it online, and make it look decent rather than line after line after line of monospaced courier font. I want something that's web-compatible, portable, easy to share, and doesn't require me to launch anything more complicated than Notepad on Windows, Pluma on Linux, or TextEdit on OS X. In other words, I want word processor formatting in a basic text editor. Sound improbable? Nah, it's easy. All you need is Markdown. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, episode 35, Marky Markdown and the Funky Bunch. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood Cyberpunk Librarian, welcoming you back to the show that is all about exploring the intersection of libraries and technology and living that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. So hello everyone, Cyberpunk Librarian is back on the air, and it is good to be back in front of the microphone. I will warn you that it is fully summertime here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, which means, well, you can cook meat on the hood of your car and the highs are somewhere between melting lead and the south side of hell. We had our very first monsoon dust storm tonight, Saturday, as I record this. I believe it's, what, Saturday the 27th or something like that? So, yeah, you might hear a little ceiling fan noise in the background. You might hear a little air conditioner venting in the background as well. And the usual hot coffee that I have during one of these podcasts has taken a backseat to iced tea. So, we're going to talk about a markup language called Markdown, and why it's so incredibly useful not only to nerds, but anyone looking to do a little writing. As I said in the intro, with Markdown you can do some amazing things using nothing more than a plain text editor. You can do bold text and italics, you can add links, headers, images, and more. Markdown gives you the tools to create formatted text in a plain text application, and it can be easily shared to others, because it's just plain text. You can also port it to the web, because it's just plain text. You can write in Markdown on any operating system, mobile or desktop, and be able to make your edits pretty much anywhere, because once again, it's just plain text. Now, as we've done before, we're going to break the show into a couple parts. For the first part, we're talking about the markup language itself and how to use it, because Markdown is a markup language. For the second bit, we're going to talk about the software. While you can use Markdown in any plain text editor, and that's sort of the idea, if you want to write Markdown, all you actually need is something like Notepad on Windows or TextEdit on OS X. But there are Markdown editors out there which will help you render and save your text as web code, and they're just as easy to use as a text editor. I mean, they really are a text editor with a couple extra features. So it's useful, it's easy to learn, and you can start using it today, right after this podcast, because we're going to dive into it right now. So the problem with HTML and similar markup languages is that there's not only a lot to learn, but using them actually makes your plain text even harder to read. There are strong tags everywhere, you want the bolding stuff, and there's emphasis tags when you need italics, and God forbid you need a link with an ahref equals and quotation marks. It's just not very pretty. Markdown was created by John Gruber and Aaron Swartz in 2004. They wanted to make an easy-to-read, plain-text markup language that was also easily converted to the web. And they succeeded. Markdown solves the problem of dirtying up your text with a lot of tags, and there's not a lot to learn just because there isn't all that much to it. Markdown will not replace HTML, nor should it. Markdown is there to do a simple job, and that's to make plain text readily convertible and shareable online. Now, I'll have links to cheat sheets and guides in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, but for many, if not most people, the most you'll need to know about Markdown is pound signs or hashtags, asterisks, numbers, braces, parentheses, and angle brackets, you know, those greater than, less than signs. That's it. You can do more with more. There is more to it. But those six things will rock your plain text files to their core. So, like HTML, Markdown typically makes use of opening and closing tags. And I'm putting the word tags in air quotes because the markup in Markdown isn't so much tags as it is the symbols that I just listed. So let's start at the top, literally, with a header. Say you're taking some notes in a meeting or something, and you want your notes or text to have a header that proclaims the title, maybe the author, other information, stuff like that. Well, for that you need hashtags, or pound signs, or octothorpes, or whatever they're called this month. You want a big level 1 style header? Start your line of text with a single hashtag, and then, without typing a space, write your text. Then at the end of your text, once again without using a space, put another hashtag on the end. That's it. No, I'm serious. That's all you do. That's a level 1 header in Markdown. If the header is supposed to say meeting notes, then you should have written hashtag meeting space notes hashtag and then hit the enter key. That starts a new line and it renders the Markdown. Or at least it will if you're using a Markdown editor. Now, there should be a space between meeting and notes, but not between the hashtags and meeting, nor between notes and the hashtag. So in other words, you start your sentence with a hashtag, or you start your header, rather, with that hashtag, and no space, and then you end it with a hashtag, and no space between the words and that pound sign or hashtag or whatever it is. Do you want a second-level header? A header? Wow. Do you want a second-level header? Yes, one of those things. One that's not as big as the first one, but still calls, you know, quite a bit of attention to itself? Well, then use two hashtags instead of one. Once again, no space between the hashtags themselves or the hashtags and the text. Third-level header, three hashtags. Now, I'll let you guess what a fourth, fifth, and sixth level header use, but the quick answer is 3, 4, 5, and 6 hashtags. So hashtags mean headers. How many you use determines the level and style of the header. That's it. Most folks don't really go beyond level 3 headers, but hey, go nuts. If you need level 6 headers, well, you go get those level 6 headers. So, okay, great. We've got a header. Well, what about our text? Well, that's easy. You know, after the header, hit enter and start typing. Text is text, and you don't need to mark up the text unless you want to. So you don't need to worry about, like they do in HTML, you don't have to worry about P tags for starting paragraphs and then slash P tags for closing paragraphs. Just type things as you would normally. Now, let's say you've gotten to a point in the text where you want to italicize a word or two. It's a new thing the boss just brought up, and you want to put some kind of emphasis on it. For that, you haul out your asterisk. So, like the headers, you italicize things by putting a single asterisk before the words you want to emphasize, and then a single asterisk after the words. So let's say you're emphasizing the words new cataloging module. You would type asterisk new space cataloging space module asterisk. No spaces between your opening and closing asterisks and the words that you're italicizing, okay? Once again, that's it. That's all you do. Do you want to make some of those words bold type? Great. Use two asterisks instead of just one. Now, one asterisk means italics and two means bold. If you use two of them at the beginning of your bold text, close them out with two at the end. And yes, you can sort of nest these together. So if you want to put an italicized word in a sort of bold area, you would start out with two asterisks at the beginning of your bold section. As you type, you put in your asterisks around the word that you want italicized and bolded, and then you end your bold section with those two asterisks. Okay? So you can nest things together. Okay, so what about lists? Well, you have your choice. Would you like a bulleted list or a numbered list? Because in Markdown, you can have both. Let's say the notes include a list of new computers and technology. There's no order to it, it's just a list. Once again, we return to our asterisks, but this time we're not going to close them out, and we are going to use a space. Okay? So we have, say, three items on our list: desktops, laptops, and tablets. So let's make a bulleted list using asterisks. As I said, the biggest change is that we are going to use a space this time, and we're not going to close it out with another asterisk. So, we're going to have desktops, laptops, tablets as a list. Okay, so the funny thing is you just basically type this out how you would a bulleted list in plain text. Asterisk, space, desktops, enter key. Asterisk, space, laptops, enter key. Asterisk, space, tablets, enter key. So it will look like a bulleted list even in plain text. And when you render it into a web-coded page using Markdown, it's going to look like a bulleted list exactly. So do you need a numbered list? Well, get this. You do the same thing with numbers. Type your list just the same way, but with a number followed by a period. You have to have the number and period. But other than that, it's just like you would in a normal plain text document. So make sure you have that period and then a space. And other than that, it's the same process. One period, space, desktops, enter. Two period, space, laptops, enter, and so on. And when that is formatted using Markdown, it's going to show up as your sort of normal, run-of-the-mill, numbered list. Now your boss mentions a website where you can get some more information about something. It's at, say, www.moreinfo.com. Okay, great. You want that to be a clickable link in your Markdown meeting notes. And that's really easy to do without any faffing about with ahref and slash a and, you know, closing out and opening up tags and all of that stuff. The company name is More Info, and that's the part you're going to want to have to click to take them to the link, okay? So we're going to use a combination of braces and parentheses. The braces simply denote the text that we want to click, and the parentheses provide the link that the text goes to, and you just put them together. Formatting is pretty easy. So, if you can follow along with me for a sec, it would be left brace, more, space, info, right brace. Left parentheses, no space in between them, http://www.moreinfo.com, right parentheses. In other words, you're just putting the link itself into parentheses, and you put the text that you would click to access that link in braces without a space between them. That's it, and it will render that as a clickable link in your Markdown notes. So if you were to share this on, say, a company intranet or anything, you could easily just pop this into HTML using a Markdown editor, and it's set to go. So, once again, space your text, but not your tags. There are no spaces between the braces or the parentheses and the text they mark up, nor is there a space between the brace text and the parentheses text. And once again, check out the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. There will be links there to examples and all kinds of stuff. My notes, as a matter of fact, for this show and for many of my previous shows are done in Markdown. And the reason I do them in Markdown is so I can easily sort of just render them into web code and copy and paste that into WordPress. It makes it so much easier than trying to highlight the text and then I have to click the link button and then I have to type in or copy paste in my link and then click OK and lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat. It's so much easier to just write everything in Markdown, render it as web code, and then copy and paste it into WordPress. It's great. As a matter of fact, what the heck? I'll put those in the show notes too. I'll actually put my Markdown text in the show notes so you can kind of see what it looks like in not really a production setting, but at least in a, you know, a practical setting. This is, you know, this is stuff that's actually being used. So, okay, finally, at least for this exercise, block quotes. Now, block quotes have dozens of uses outside of simple block quoting. So let's just say we're just going to set aside some text in the document. For that, it's kind of like a list, except we use angle brackets, and you put them on every line that you want to include in the block quote. So you can open up an entire paragraph with just a single angle bracket or angle brace, whichever you want to call it, and you just simply close it out. So, to set aside a couple of sentences, we type right angle bracket space and then the sentence we want to set aside. Now, you don't actually have to close it out, which is fine. So, at the end of it, you just hit enter twice. That starts a new line and then starts another new line. You're basically breaking your paragraph in, you know, where the block quote is done. And that's it. As I said before, Markdown can do more than this. There's plenty more it can do, but it's still fairly simple in its nature. You can use images in Markdown, but that kind of gets a little fiddly, and I'll let you explore that for yourself. But for the most part, I just told you everything you need to know as far as what's in Markdown. So there's nothing weird as far as like these strange markup tags or things that you would see in HTML or XML or any of that. There's just some punctuation things. And it makes your text stay readable. If you're looking at plain, unformatted Markdown text, you can still read it very easily. And as a matter of fact, it even makes sense because the punctuation calls attention to itself in obvious ways. So check the links in the show notes for Markdown Syntax by John Gruber himself. It goes into a very in-depth explanation of all that Markdown does. For this show, I just want to give you a taste of what you can do and how simple it is to do it. If you want to know more and do more, well, there's so much more to do. And it's all pretty easy. So check it out when you have some time. While you can use Markdown in almost any text editor, its real power shines out when you use a dedicated Markdown editor. At the very least, a Markdown editor can take your text, marked up with Markdown, and render it into a web page for you. However, many Markdown editors also provide a live preview of your rendered text in an attached window, so you can see how things will look exactly, you know, exactly as they'll look when you save them to a web page or a PDF. The great thing about Markdown is that because it's based in plain text, you can write in Markdown on your plain text editor on an iPad, save it to a cloud drive like Dropbox, and then open it up on your Windows desktop and do whatever you need to do with it there. As I said before, it's just plain text. The thing you need to consider is that for many applications, Markdown is Markdown is Markdown. And by that I mean you'll find Markdown apps that are simple text editors that save Markdown as web pages and give you a live preview as you type. And then there are these apps that look like development environments. I figure if you're just getting started with Markdown, you just need a good app that's got a right amount of features and not a lot of fluff for software developers. So I have one app selection for the five major operating systems out there that will definitely get you started, and I promise they not only look good, but they work really well too. I'm not going to go into the features of each individual app for the same reason that I probably wouldn't do that with a basic text editor either. Basic text editors all pretty much do the same thing, and for the most part, so do these markdown editors. So let's just do a quick nitty-gritty of what they do so you kind of know what you're getting. On the desktop side, I'm recommending apps that provide a live preview of your work in Markdown and offer a way to convert it into a web page. Usually this is provided as a save as or an export under the file menu. They also offer a few options for how this web page will look, with different looks for backgrounds, text, and layout. You can save your files anywhere you want, so if you want to pick those Markdown files and put them on a other device, save them to Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that so you can pick them up on those other devices. On the mobile side, things tend to be a little stripped down, but that's not bad because mobile is supposed to be lean and mean. That doesn't mean these apps suck, they just offer Markdown rendering and cloud syncing. It won't be hard to get something working with Dropbox or iCloud to share your documents across multiple devices. So on the mobile apps, you won't find as many feature-rich things, though that kind of stuff does exist. What you're going to find is stuff that really takes your Markdown, converts it in the background, and allows you to do stuff with it, perhaps on another device. So those are the features. Now here are the apps. And you can find those links to these apps in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. So let's start with Windows, because why not? And for Windows, I recommend Markdown Pad. I've used Markdown Pad for a long time, at least a couple years, I think. And it's never let me down. It also offers tabbed files, so you can open up and edit multiple files in tabs at the same time. So that's pretty cool. And like I said, you've got your preview as you type, and it easily saves your Markdown text to web pages and as a PDF. Are you running OS X? Well, Markdown has your back, and an excellent feature set for Markdown files too. Markdown is also free and open source, which makes it doubly cool in my book. And while Markdown doesn't do tabbed files like Markdown Pad does, I've really had no problem with it, and while I can't speak for everyone, I don't often have more than a couple files open at the same time anyway. Most of the time it's just one, so the lack of tabbed files really doesn't matter all that much to me, but your mileage may vary. Linux? Well, I run Ubuntu Mate because it's freaking awesome, and I have to throw a shout out to Haroopad. And that's Haroopad. Now, if you put Haroopad next to Markdown, you're going to see a lot of similarities. And I don't know this for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some code sharing going on there. Either way, Haroopad looks great on Ubuntu Mate, and it works just like Markdown with a similar set of options. So, like the Who, are you going mobile? Well, if you're running iOS, then ByWord is an excellent Markdown editor with Dropbox integration. It's $5.99 currently on the iOS App Store, but it's well worth the money. It's on my iPad, and if you're working with Markdown, I think it should be on your iPad too. And finally, for Android, there is Draft. Draft, like ByWord, works with Dropbox and gives you a simple but full-featured Markdown writing experience. Now, like I said, on the mobile side, you don't always get the live preview, but I found that with an app like Draft, I type my Markdown and then I save it. And if I come back to it later, it's been rendered into Markdown. You can see your bold text and your headers and all of that. And like I said, with Dropbox and cloud integration, the ability to share your Markdown files from device to device and computer to computer without worrying about which operating systems it'll work with, well, that's a killer feature right there. Because after all, you don't have to worry about desktop or mobile, or which operating system you're using. Markdown works everywhere because, after all, it's just plain text. And that about wraps up episode 35 of Cyberpunk Librarian. I thank you for tuning in. Hope you picked up some ideas for Markdown and how to use it. Now you might fold that into your workflow and maybe get a little use out of it. It's nice to get something more out of plain text, which is sort of like the thing that has been around since computers have been around and had monitors attached to them. So by all means, check the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, where I'll also include my Markdown file for the show notes that I've made, you know, where I put them up there, so you can kind of see what it looks like, at least in some kind of practical sense where someone's actually using this for something. They're not pretty, but I guarantee you they're functional. The track you're currently digging on is Infinitive Sight by Fortidelis. Earlier in the show, you heard Lullaby by Underscore Ghost, and Under Whispering Trees by Phonogary. As always, the show opening track is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita, and I've got those all linked up in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the Internet Archive at archive.org. I'd like to throw a big shout out and a thank you to those good people for all the things that they do to preserve and save the Internet and host podcasts like this one and better than this one. Archive.org, the Internet Archive, great people doing great things. Check them out. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can do so via the old school SMTP method at cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter. I am at Bibrarian. That's Bibrarian. It's like librarian, but it starts with a B. Or on Google Plus. I am google.com/+DanielMesser. We also have a Cyberpunk Librarian Facebook page at facebook.com/cyberpunklibrary. You can check that out for updates and kind of what's going on with the shows and stuff like that. And before I get out of here, hey, check out the feed later this week because Intergalactic Librarian is returning for part 2. I can't wait to get that out to you. I think you're going to really enjoy that one as well. So watch for Intergalactic Librarian later this week. And hey, for now, I am getting out of here. I thank you for tuning in once again. Cyberpunk Librarian is dropped every 2 weeks or so when I'm not on vacation, so watch for another show in a couple weeks. And for now, I just need to remind you, you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care out there. I'll see you next time.